Okay, I'll talk to you afterwards then. We are in Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans chapter 6. When you come to the end of chapter 5, you find two thrones. One throne is the throne of death. The other throne is the throne of life. When you end chapter 6, which we're going to study, brings you right back again to that famous verse that we always use in evangelism, and it has to do with life and death, or death and life. They both conclude with those two subjects, death and life, both eternal, death and life. So as you leave chapter 5 and you come into chapter 6 after seeing these two thrones and left with the choice of which one I will stand before, will I stand before the throne of death, which is called in Revelation 20 the great white throne judgment, or will I stand before the throne of grace? The throne of sin, the throne of sin, is governed by the law. That's what reigns, is sin. It's the rule of sin. And it's governed by the law, and the result is death. The other is the throne of life. It's governed by grace. It's governed by grace. The two opposites from daylight and dark. But it leaves you at these two thrones where a person has to make a decision. Which one do I want? Do I want to be under the sin, judged by the law, and the result, death? Or do I want to be under the throne of grace, which will give me life eternal? Everybody has to make that decision. Everybody's left with that decision. So chapter 5 concludes the doctrine of salvation and leaves you with those two thrones. Chapter 6 brings us right back, not to two thrones, but brings us right back to the two subjects, death and life. And there's a reason for that. Because we find, as we pointed out last Wednesday night, and it just seems like we were just here last Wednesday night, how'd this week go by so fast? Phew, like it's on a roller coaster. How time is going by so quickly. But anyway, I left you with four words in the first four verses of chapter 6. The word I brought out in chapter 6, verse 1, is the word continue. And the word I brought out in verse 2 is live. And the word I brought out in verse 3 is know. And the word I brought out in verse 4 is therefore. And therefore, in verse 4, is going to provide us an opening to deal with the subject of sin after salvation. Sin after salvation. Now, you even have the word in verse 12 of chapter 6, reign. Reign. That's a rule of royalty. That's a word of royalty. Reigning. And that's what you found in chapter 5 when you had to deal with the thrones. So you find the word reign over in chapter 6. So in chapter 6, verse 1, we find, first of all, we're going to continue to live. After we've been to the throne to make a decision, and everybody has to make that decision, life continues. It doesn't end. So the word I want to emphasize is, we continue in life. Jesus, when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17, said, I will not, and I would not, that you take them from the earth, but that you leave them. And that's kind of paraphrasing. But it wasn't God's program to save us and take us to heaven. That's not God's program. God's program is to save us and leave us here. That's His program. So we're going to continue to live. We're going to continue to live, as in verse 2, the word live. Now, what's important is how we live. That's what the question is. How we live. Now, last Wednesday night, I used Frosty's stool up there as an example and took you to Ephesians chapter 2 to show you where we are positioned positionally. Now, tonight, we're sitting here physically in this building. And after it's over, we will physically be in our car. Then we'll be physically in our home. And then ultimately, sometime, we'll be ultimately in our bed. That's where we are physically. But positionally, spiritually, positionally, we're already up there. As Paul brings out in Philippians, our citizenship's up there. The book of life is up there and our name's in it. And on and on. So there's no question our home is there, our birthright's there, and on. There's no question we're already home, positionally. We're just waiting for that to be fulfilled in reality. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. We are sitting with Him, according to Ephesians chapter 2. I just taught that yesterday down at the Bible College. Now, so we're going to continue to live, and it's important how we're going to continue to live, so we better know something in verse 3. You see, if we're going to continue to live, we better know some things about how we're going to live. And the last part of verse 4, the last three words, that's how we're supposed to live. There it is. We're going to continue to live, but it's going to be a new life. A new life. The newness of life. Now, how is that possible? I've been asked that question dozens, if not hundreds, many hundreds of times over my years of ministry. How do you get victory? And that's what chapter 6, 7, and 8 is all about. How do I live in victory after salvation? How do I live in victory after salvation? No question, we're going to continue. No question, we're going to continue to live. I was saved July the 3rd, 1978. This is August. This is what, not August. This is, I feel like it ought to be. This is October the 14th, 2020. Over 43 years ago, about 43 years ago. And I'm still living. But how have I lived? So if I'm going to live and I'm going to continue to live, I better know how to live. And that's the word, that's the key word. Know. Know. Verse 3. Know. So chapter 6 is going to tell us some things we better know. Chapter 7 is the meat. If I've kind of expressed, when you have a three-chapter subject, I've often expressed it this way. The first chapter is the first layer of bread. The third chapter is the second piece of bread. And the chapter in the middle is the meat. I've often expressed it that way. When you've got a three-chapter, like we do here, this is a three-chapter subject. And the chapter subject is sanctification. After salvation is sanctification. Now, sanctification in act means to positionally take something and move it and position it somewhere else. We were positioned at the throne of death. That's where we were. Condemned by the law. That's where we were, positionally. When we came to the throne of grace and we repented and received Christ as our personal Savior and our substitute for our sin, He then positioned us, took us from this throne that reigned over us, and took us and positionally put us at the throne of grace to give us eternal life. And that's where we're positioned in heaven. And that's called a positional, a one-time positional act of sanctification. Then there's three phases of sanctification. There is the act of at salvation, where God positionally takes us from the throne of death and the law, puts us at the throne of grace and gives us life eternal and positions us with Christ in heaven. It's already settled. It's already settled. That was settled on July 3rd, 1978 for me at about 11 o'clock in the morning. It was settled. It's never changed. And never will change. Someday it'll be a reality and I'll be there. Not in this body, thank God. But I'll be there. Now, as I move along and I live, as the word continue in verse 1 and live in verse 2, as I continue to live my life after salvation, I'm already positioned, that's settled. But as I continue to live my Christian life down here in what's called the newness of life, I'm moving along, and I'm in my 43rd year. What is behind me will reflect upon how much I've known, how much I've learned, how much I've obeyed, and so forth. It'll reflect upon what's behind my path. What I've left is what we call a testimony. And that's going to tell how I've lived. That's it. Now, this is called, theologically, and when I teach in layman terms, it's a lot different than teaching in theological terms. I usually use layman terms, but this is called progressive. This is a progressive, and I don't like that term because it's in, like evolution, evolves. But this is exactly what happens. I've said, when we get saved, we get all of God we're ever going to get. He don't come in portions. But He don't get all of us, unfortunately. When He saves us, He doesn't get all of us. And I believe John the Baptist probably said it. And Jesus said, those born among women, none greater than John the Baptist. Now I want you to go with me, hold your finger right there in Romans chapter 6. And flip back with me to the Gospel of John. And I believe John the Baptist probably said it in terms of progressive sanctification, probably about as clear as you can get it. And that is in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And verse 30. John the Baptist speaking of Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. Couldn't be beautifully said. And that's what progressive sanctification is all about. Less of me and more of Him. As I continue to live, I better know that. I better know that. That's one. If I'm going to walk this new life, if I'm going to walk this new life that is spoken of back in Romans 6, verse 4, the last part, walk in this newness of life, then I better know some things. And what the purpose of this progressive walk and continue of life is, to be less of me every day and a whole lot more of Him. That's the subject we're teaching. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Chapter 6 tells us, that's the first layer of bread, tells us what kind of bread we better have on our sandwich. Chapter 8 tells us what we better have on the bottom. But chapter 7 tells us, if you want to live frustrated, this is what you don't put in the middle. This is what you don't do in the middle. And chapter 7 is, and I know I am very negative toward a lot of the mega religious teaching on social media. You know how many people are getting so screwed up in their head and their hearts because of social media teaching and preaching? There's wolves out there, and they are on attack, and it's purposeful, and it's driven, I believe, demonically. You get people screwed up, and it goes back to Genesis. It goes back to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. If they don't know, they're prime suspects to be corrupted and led astray. But all they do is pump up the flesh. They pump up the flesh. It's all about the flesh and all about confidence and self-centeredness. That's what's wrong with this world. That's why we're so self-centered today. Now, we can't be a broken system or we'll never be able to function. God don't mean us to the point where we become emotionally broken, where we can't function. We have to function in this body, and that's what we're going to deal with in just a minute. We have to function in this body. But we can't have a broken spirit or a broken will. A person who has a broken will has lost their will to live. So we'll just go to the main word of chapter 6. The main word of chapter 6, and this is not the first time I've taught this. I've emphasized this several times. The main word, verse 13, he finally gets to it. Yield, verse 13. Second time in the middle of the sentence, in the middle of the verse, second time, yield. Verse 16, yield, and on and on, on and on. Then you have the word in verse 12, reign. And you have the word in verse 14, dominion. These are all words that we better know and know what they mean so that we can individually apply them in our life so that we can continue to live with the knowledge of what God has said, so where there's less of me and a whole lot more of Him in this new life that we live. And that just goes opposite of this mega teaching out there from these big popular, well-known stars that causes so much false teaching and preaching. Listen, it's not about me. It's about Him. Amen. And that's what my life is to reflect. My life is not to reflect me. My life is to reflect Him. Him. And that's why we have so much darkness prevailing in our country today. I still believe, as I preach Sunday night, I want to say tonight, and to the Facebook friends as well, and I told Brother Ron this after the service Sunday night, the second half of my message I had absolutely not in my notes. They were not in my notes, and they were not in my heart. I had no plans of preaching what I preached on about America in application to that which we were studying in Zechariah. If you remember, and if you don't remember, even back on the Facebook recording, I paused for about 30 seconds. It wasn't a senior moment. I paused about 30 seconds to get clear. Were you leading me? And I kind of, preachers have to do this to make sure, make clarity. And I felt a burning in my heart to bring out the resemblance of how God visited that country after it was dominated by evil and touched the apple of his eye. If you'll remember, a few years ago, we were told, this is not a Christian country. We were told that. This is not a Christian country. I believe that was a slap in the face of God. And been a whole lot more going on. And I want to tell you, what was preached here Sunday night, the second half, God put me over there on that pew, and I believe the Holy Spirit stood there and preached for about 20 minutes. It wasn't me. And I got home and I got to thinking, where did it come from? I had no plan. I planned on rebuilding in the fourth. That's what I was planning. I was planning on the measuring line, the rebuilding, and that in the fourth vision. I had no plans of that. No plans at all. But God wanted it said. And that just confirms to me more than more, I believe there's hope for this country. I believe there's hope. If there's enough salt, enough light, if there's enough prayer, enough interest, enough turning, and enough of God's people that will get a hold of the throne to save this country for a few more years. He did it in the days of Josiah. He did it in the days of Josiah. He said, okay, Josiah, I've seen your tears. I've seen your action. I'm going to put a stay of execution. And he held it off. He did it for Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a selfish response when they told him, okay, it's not going to happen in your days. It's going to happen after you're gone. Hezekiah said, good is the word of the Lord. There'll be peace and safety in my day. What an attitude to have. Hezekiah said that. Then he produced Manasseh, who was an absolute terror and a reign. So anyway, these are Bible characters, but I was absolutely so overwhelmed as I drove home Sunday night, and as I thought Sunday night, and thinking, I don't believe I've ever been. It's just like when Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house, like God said, it's time for you to sit down. Be quiet. Peter, you're done. Now it's time for me. And Peter wasn't done preaching, but God was done with him. So he sat down. And I believe through me, and I'm honored that God chose to do that, but that message went out of here Sunday night, the second half. That was totally, and I say this without hesitance tonight, and I don't say that to get a pat on the shoulder. I'm saying the second half of that message came directly from God for hope for this country. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it. So anyway, how we continue to live, we better know. We better know because it's a new life. And the key word is yield. Yield. To whom you yield, in verse 16, you'll become a servant. To whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey. So whom ever we yield. Now that word yield is an interesting word. We use it a lot in traffic laws. And some people don't understand what yield means. Now we're becoming more like Europe all the time. First the measurements came and the metric and then the weights and the kilos and so forth. We're becoming European, and that's all I believe biblical. I believe America will eventually become under the European power. Eventually, this country will collapse. It's going to have to happen because Europe's going to have to rise to power to fulfill the Bible, and I believe we'll come under European. I believe it'll exist, but it'll be under the European authority, power. That's my observation of Scripture. But now we've got these roundabouts. The roundabouts. They came to Romania, and the worst thing is about it, one town you go to and the laws would be one way. Normally, if you're in the circle, you've got the authority to go. If you're entering, you've got to yield. Then you go to another area, and it's just the opposite. If you're coming into the circle, you've got the priority because you're on the right. And you're talking about confusion. Confusion. And there's nothing written. There's nothing. You're just supposed to know. So you just, I usually just went with the flow. I just followed the flow. What everybody else was doing. But anyway, these roundabouts. But the key is you got to yield. Yield yourselves. Now that boils down to one word in our makeup, and everybody's got one. It's called will. Will. Now we'll go to what we're called in verse 6. I'm just kind of taking this and kind of laying it out the best I can to show you what this chapter is dealing with. In verse 6, knowing, here's some things we've got to know. The word know and knowing is used several times. Knowing that our, and that's what we're called, old man. Now that follows after a new walk. I walked into this auditorium tonight, and I walked in here in my old man. And believe me, when I get up in the morning, it reminds me, you're quite old. Sounds like Rice Krispies every morning when I get up. But I walked in there in this old man, but my walk's going to be a new walk. Now, how can I have a new walk in an old man? This is what we got to answer in this chapter. There's no need to go into chapter 7 because we'll never survive chapter 8 if we don't get it figured out here in chapter. That's the same way. We'll never get salvation figured out. If we come to the end of chapter 5 where we face these two great thrones and we haven't got it figured out yet, there's no need of going into chapter 6 because we're not ready yet. You've got to get that figured out first. And that's the doctrine of salvation. So this is laid out very beautifully, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. And there's no need of going to chapter 7 because we'll never understand chapter 8. And we can't get into chapter 7 without understanding and knowing this truths that chapter 6 gives us. Now, somebody's ringing. That's okay. No problem. So the old man. And notice the second line is called the body of sin. The body of sin. The old man, the body of sin, and I'm to walk a new life in a body of sin, an old man, and I can do it. It bases on my will. To what I yield to. Now we know that after we're saved, that this old body of sin, this old man, and I could go to many different, Frosty's taught on this very eloquently in years past on the old and the new. And Sunday school. And we could go over to Corinthians. I'm not going to take the time because we're running short. Once we get through chapter 5 and we enter chapter 6, we find that our body, this old body of sin, this old man, becomes the temple. The temple. And we could go, and I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to do it, but we could go to the temple in Jerusalem and compare the temple of Jerusalem to the temple of the body and what went on in Jesus' day. He had to go in and clean it. He had to go in and clean it. It's called a house of prayer, but they made it into a den of thieves. It's based on will and what we know. Based on will and what we know. Now, this subject called progressive sanctification is beautifully laid out by John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. That's the goal that must be progressively achieved as I continue to live. And how I continue to live, if I'm going to live victoriously and successfully and blessed by God, based on what I know. What I know. Based on how my will accepts it. And how I yield to what is presented to me. It's that simple. Sanctification is just as simple as salvation. It's not complicated at all. I've got to simply, and this is what he's dealing with. I thought about going down and dealing with this verse by verse by verse, and I thought, we're going to get our wheels a-spinning, but I'll just take the heartbeat and we'll just get the heart to beating to realize what this chapter is dealing with. And it's dealing with continuing to live based on how we know so that we can walk a new life in an old body, the body of sin, and live it successfully. The key is what we yield to based on what we know. Now, that's very smart. That's very clever. That's very clear. Hold your finger right there. And flip back to me, with me, to another verse that I've often referred to. James chapter 4. Better give you the reference, right? There's a lot of talk today in trying to explain legally. I've listened to some of the hearings, theatrics. I've listened to some of them. And if you listen to some of these politicians talk, they want to be the definer. They want to be the one to define. They have put themselves in a position of defining. Doesn't make any difference what law says, don't matter what the Constitution says. For sure, don't make any difference what the Bible says, what God says. They want to be the definer. God never left man with that authority. Never. Never. We got laws. We're a country of laws. We're a nation of laws. There is the interpretation of those laws and the application of those laws. And there are different jurists that kind of differ on the application of those. But to be a definer, absolutely not. Maybe trying to define evil today. I had a good laugh. James chapter 4, verse 17. I've preached on this a lot. You've heard it before. Therefore, there it is again as a summary. Therefore, to him that knoweth. See, it's all based on what we know. That's why some people don't like to come to church because they don't like to hear it. They think if I don't hear it, then I'm not accountable and I'm not responsible because it makes me uncomfortable. I get uncomfortable. I get uneasy. When I hear things, and so if I don't hear it, it won't bother me. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So in the area of our old man, this body of sin, not only do we have the will that is not to yield. It sounds like a paradox, but it's exactly where we're at. And I'll conclude with this tonight. We're left in this paradox in this new life that we're living in, this old man and this old body. We continue to live based on what we know, because I've got to walk a new life. God wants to bring me along in my life so there's less of me and more of Him. That's the goal, the ultimate end, and this progressiveness to get me prepared to live with Him forever and ever in the end. So the key word is, don't yield to sin. My will must say no. But when it comes to doing right, I have to yield to the Holy Spirit. I can't yield to evil, but I must yield to good. And I've got to know the difference between the two. And in this world we live, in this chaotic confusion we live in, people don't know the difference between good and evil. So what are they going to yield to? And that's the complication of our society which we live today. And it's not only in America, it's around the world. So we got a will. Everybody has a will. They will. They either will or they will not. And that it's their choice. Just as that's where it leaves us at the end of chapter 5, before these two thrones. It's my choice which one. God provided the throne of grace. The law provided the throne of death, ruling sin. That's what it provided. And I'm left with a choice. Do I want to live eternally or do I want to be dead eternally? I have to choose. I say under the law, I'm going to die, be separated from God forever and ever. I come to Christ. Christ sets me free from the death of the law and the sin. Now I walk in this new life, and here I find myself right back again with the complications. I've got to yield, but I don't yield. And I've got to know. There's the key word. Know. You got to know. I got to know what not to yield to, and I got to know what to yield to, and the difference between. And that's where a lot of people are so, because of this social media and this social preaching and all of this stuff that's being thrown out there today by governments and things, people are left in the darkness and they can't decide one way what's right and what's wrong. That's where they're at. And you know what they live? The name to explain chapter 7, the meat that you put in between chapter 6 and chapter 8, the meat, frustration. That's chapter 7, frustration. And you ever see a society frustrated? Phew! We live in a world of frustration. That's where we're at, especially in the Christian life. Facebook friends, thank you for connecting with us tonight. We continue on. We'll have a special service Sunday morning. We'll be streaming live. We're going to put it all on Facebook. We have a special group. It's a family of 9. They have 7 children. They play instruments a little bit on the bluegrass side. And they're coming in to provide us music on our 176th anniversary of First Baptist Church here in Dresden. And they'll be in here. We'll be streaming live. You won't want to miss it. Come and join us if you can. We'd love to have you. But it'll begin sometime shortly after 10 o'clock. No Sunday school this Sunday. No Sunday school. One service at 10 o'clock, and it'll probably last a good hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. Then after the hour program of music, the father is also a pastor of the family, and he'll be bringing our church a message in the realm of our anniversary. And then we'll have a big meal to follow after in our newly renovated fellowship hall. So that'll be this coming Sunday. No Sunday evening service. When we have these big days, we just call it an all-day service, fellowship, food on the grounds. So if you can be with us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, tune in with us on Facebook. If you can come and visit us, we're right here on the corner of 8th and Chestnut Street in Dresden, Ohio. We'd love to have you. So at this time, we will be saying goodbye to you. Thank you for connecting with us tonight. Stay blessed and stay safe, my friends. All right.